You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And today we're going to talk about genetic variants, specifically like polymorphisms or those single nucleotide polymorphisms that can affect things like methylation, detoxification, et cetera, that are so intriguing and enticing and popular to talk about, and the ways that homeopathy can play a role in helping to optimize the genetics that you do have. So I'm going to start off with a disclaimer before Jody tells you her story that's going to sound maybe like the genetics don't matter. Genetics do matter. Genetics are important. Homeopathy cannot change your genetics that you have. We're not talking though about like full knockouts. We're not talking about extra chromosomes. We're not talking about like full genes that are missing. We're talking about genes that are still generally functional, but have a slight variant. So like one of the proteins that goes into this particular expression of this gene, one of them is a different version of it. And that can reduce or alter functioning. Some of it makes it more functional. So it can just alter functioning from what we call like the wild type, which means like what's most prominent in the population. And so this isn't complete knockouts. These are still functioning, just differently functioning genes. And homeopathy can play a role in these factors. Homeopathy does work on that epigenetic level. And what we mean by epigenetics are all of the things about our environment that impact our genetic expression. So this is the thing that's most important here to say is that like our genes are not our destiny per se, right? Mm-hmm. So especially when it comes to the genes that are not always on or always off, which is most of them. So we have things that can like light switches that turn on and turn off the expression of genes. And so that's where things like diet and lifestyle come in, that when we have really poor dietary habits, or if we eat a whole lot of charred meats or whatever, that it could switch on some of those genes for colon cancer, right? So some of the specific chemicals in it that can help with switching things on, you know, that kind of thing. And so what we're really talking about is genes that are not always switched on or switched off, and things that can impact how these things are working overall in our body. We also have lots of pathways for a lot of these functions. So you know, if we talk about the MTHFR or methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase, that particular gene, there's a couple of them that play a role. So we've got backups too. And so with homeopathy, we're working at that epigenetic level where we're helping to optimize what we've got, that we have, make sure all of our systems are working as effectively as they possibly can, and making sure that the genes that we want to stay turned off are staying turned off. So it's like that epigenetic type of impact. There are some places that I think genetics and finding out your genetics can be really important that you wouldn't have information about with homeopathy, but we can talk about that in a little bit. I want Jody to dive in and share a little bit about her experience, because I know this was a route that you went down pretty heavy before you and I met.
Pretty heavy and borderline obsession. I learned a lot though. So I actually originally started down this rabbit hole with my own health problems. And this was as, you know, my girls had been born and they were starting to have their health problems. Pardon me, that at the same time I was having my own. And somebody started talking to me about, you know, of course, MTHFR and if I had done my genetics. And so I ended up doing 23andMe and found out that we were MTHFRs. And there was a couple of other things. I don't remember exactly what they were, something to do with what our body does with histamine and a couple of other things that are kind of wrapped into that whole methyl cycle. And I just kind of got obsessed with it and obsessed with learning all the things about it and learning exactly how the methyl cycle works. In the very beginning, I was super like, it felt like a life sentence, right? Like I felt like I have to take supplements for the rest of my life. I have to eat a certain way, and I don't even know how to do this. I don't have time to do this special diet. It felt very overwhelming. And it also felt like all my health problems were from that. Like everything went into that basket. Yeah. And then as the girls got sicker and sicker, we ended up doing genetic testing on them. Sure enough, the same thing. And I love the genetic testing, again, was another giant wormhole that I literally spent years just researching. But nothing that I ever found was really absolute. It could cause this, it might do this in one person, it might not do this. All I knew that was for sure that I could tell both of my girls weren't detoxing well. With Avery, we actually had blood tests to tell us that she wasn't. She was elevated in, her arsenic levels were elevated. So I could also see signs that her body wasn't detoxing well. And so again, for my girls, I felt like it's a life sentence. I'm always going to have to supplement them. They're always going to have to follow this strict diet. And so getting into kind of the functional medicine world and even trying all of the things out that all of the moms were saying on the page, I'm like, oh, I gotta do this to help with detox. I gotta do that to help with detox. And I was doing some things and I could actually see some benefit. Yep. as we were doing the baths and the methylfolate and slowly removing folate out of her diet. Folic acid. There we go. Sorry. I always say the wrong thing. Folic acid. Slowly removing that out of her diet. I started to see some things, but then I also felt like if I didn't do those things all the time, that the things that told me her body wasn't detoxing well, like with baths, if I wouldn't give her a regular detox bath, I always kind of felt like I would see more behaviors. And so I felt very bound to doing all of that detox support. And I'm sure this whole poor ability to detox was just another piece of what got Avery into all of this PANS chaos, because her body was just holding on to things that it shouldn't be holding on to. And also part of, you know, what we talked about in a previous episode, why whenever I was trying to do binders or other detox protocols, she would have these wild and crazy reactions, likely because her body was just holding on to toxins. And so we got into, do you have anything else before I go into like the actual homeopathy part of it?
Let's talk a little bit about genetic testing and some, okay, like some advantages and some limitations and some ways around it, especially because, you know, there's a lot of people who even genetic testing is going to be inaccessible to for financial reasons. And so genetic testing can be helpful to learn some of these things that Jody talked about, and like all of these different biochemical pathways that our body is interconnected between, the way that our genes are operating and how they're manipulating biochemistry. And it's so enticing. And there are a lot of companies that will tell you like, order this test and then we'll give you this protocol. And then you just follow this protocol. And the reality is that a lot of those protocols can be beneficial to an extent, and they have their limitations, because all of our biochemical pathways are like the highway system in the United States, that everything interconnects with everything else. And if you start to like overload one particular one pathway, it's going to have downstream effects into other pathways. It's going to spill over, and then we end up with side effects. And so I love genetics. I was actually like, it was my favorite class in undergrad, and my background is in physiology and neurobiology. And I just loved genetics, and I thrived in it. I was like one of those people that like got it like right away. So when the whole genomic trend started in medicine, I was there, I was for it, I was on it, and I was so excited about it. And I found, especially with these PANS kids, that as often as I tried to use their genetics to drive information and tell me what I should be giving them with supplements, it honestly made them worse more often than it made them better. And I think it's because we have to acknowledge that while we have a lot of information about genetics, we still only have a fraction of the information that we really need to know. And that we have to take into account all of the things. And maybe I'm just not, maybe there are people who are just way better at it than me. And that's very possible. And I can tell you that like, there's lots of PANS kids that I've worked with who have worked with other providers, who have expertise beyond where I do in this area. And that's all they do all day, every day, and still coming to me with really negative reactions to things that their genetics say should help them. So we just need to recognize that there are limitations to the information that we even have. There's also limitations to the genetic tests, because certain tests are going to look for certain genes and single nucleotide polymorphisms, and others are going to look for different ones, and they'll even change too. Like Jody mentioned 23andMe, the information that you can get from a 23andMe when you use all of their background information and you upload it to one of those different websites that can like translate it for you to give you the genetic variants. They changed it. So they used to give one of those that you mentioned with on the histamine pathway that they no longer give. And so it changes over time, and like the, you'll get different information from different different sources. A lot of the ones that are being used the most are actually used to make medication decisions, which can be helpful in some ways. They're not going to tell you what's going to work. They're going to tell you what's more likely to cause a problem though. And so it's not the, oh, my genetics said that I should use this SSRI and I shouldn't use this MAOI or whatever. It's telling you, it's not saying that this SSRI is going to work, but this other one's not going to work. It's just saying this is less likely to be a problem for you than this. And there is some value in that. So that if you are going down that route with medications, that you can have a greater confidence that you're going to have fewer side effects, so fewer adverse events, if you do some genetic testing first. So I think that there's value in that. Go ahead.
I think this is one of the areas as PANS parents that we kind of have to be careful. And I just know this from hindsight. You know, we were with a functional medicine provider who did the testing and then plugged it all into all of the things. And I remember going back to the Avery's next follow-up and sitting down, and she had this like printout of like 10 pages, and here's all your, you know, all your potential issues. And here is your supplement that goes along with each one. And I was like, holy cow. And really like taking, I remember the doctor taking, saying, okay, we have this from Genetic Genie that tells us this plus this other test. So we can pretty much tell that Avery's got mitochondrial dysfunction. And I was like, wait, what? Like, what? I've never even heard of that. What is, you know, what is that? And well, here's the supplement that you'll take for mitochondrial dysfunction. And that supplement was like $80 for a month supply. And then here's your methylfolate that you need to take. But at that time we had to rub it in on the back. We couldn't take it. And like every single, what's it called? Snip. There we go. Every single one had a different
supplement.
And then also, so leaving there to get out the door, I had to pick what I could afford. But at that time, I thought we needed all of them. Like yeah. I thought eventually we were going to build up to all of them. So I literally picked what we could afford at the time, which was something we couldn't afford. We just were, because it was so expensive. But going home and researching what the actual ingredients of these like combo supplements were, I was like, oh my gosh, like if I get her on all of this, then there's like multiple that I'm overlapping, and I've got her on the same thing in different combo. And so I think that we have to be really careful there. Yeah. And check ourselves. I think this is one area where it's really good to check our providers, like look at everything, look at the ingredients, look at, it's just a big wormhole that you can go down.
And this is where I see a lot of people have adverse effects, and I'm one of those people too. You know, like I didn't never realized why I had issues. Like when I just knew that I had MTHFR variants and I started taking, you know, B complex, that I had no idea that it was going to make me more anxious, irritable, and have trouble sleeping, because I had something further down the line that had a hard time then dealing with the stuff that I was now making more of. And so like, if you're making more of something, you have to have a way to get it out of your system as well. So I was getting more of the, like, excitatory stuff that was being produced more now, and I couldn't get rid of it because I had something down the line that made it slower for it to get rid of rather than faster. Mm-hmm. So I do think that it's, like Jody said, it's important, if you are going to go down this route, to really be conscientious about the supplements that you're choosing, so that you don't overload it with these kiddos, because they're sensitive. And you're also going to deal with potential pill fatigue, and you're not really helping the body on that epigenetic level if you're just supporting the biochemistry based off of what you're seeing at the genetic level. So epigenetics are very, very, very important. And it's not just the genetics. And so when you're just doing supplementation, you're just really focusing on the genetic level. There's a really great book by Dr. Ben Lynch, who's a naturopathic doctor, called Dirty Genes. And I really like this book because it addresses some of the top genes that are problematic for people. Obviously not all of them, it's limited. You know, you can't get all of them in a book that's even remotely readable. And he talks about a lot of the diet and lifestyle things that you can do. And that's really where I think that the genetic testing is super, super, super useful, is to give you some more information about the things that you need to do, again, on the epigenetic level, diet and lifestyle, that are going to help you work with the genes that you have. So you don't need to supplement the genes, and you don't need to supplement to try and drive biochemistry. And so one of the things that is, I think we just need to acknowledge, is that the main things that are problematic for all of our genetic SNPs is just stuff that we know is generally not that great for us. So it's usually things that are made in a factory. So like synthetic forms of nutrients, like folic acid that Jody mentioned, that can gum up the works for people who have variants in their THFR genes. Chemical sensitivity, if we're just really using things that are more found in nature and that, you know, not made in a factory, you're probably going to avoid most of the issues with the genes in the first place. And so you can just start by going to, like, you know, a more whole foods diet, not even using supplements per se, or if you need to supplement because your child has a very restricted diet, talking to a provider about one that's going to have more bioavailable forms that are not as synthetic, that are going to be more usable regardless of what your genetic makeup happens to be. And then, you know, really looking at, like, the things you're using to clean your house, and, like, reducing things, you know, leaning more toward vinegar versus bleach, and, you know, that kind of thing. Can be a lot more easy on your genes, no matter what they happen to be. So I think that that's really one of the most beneficial things about doing the genetic testing, just so you've got that information of things that you should avoid. So, like, for instance, my daughter, I know, has variants in MTHFR, so she just doesn't get any enriched cereals or breads or pastas or anything like that, because it's got something in it that is more likely to be problematic for her than for somebody else, because she has that particular variant. So I'm grateful that I know that. I'm also grateful that I know that, you know, she is, like, her dad and I, we don't make vitamin D as well on our own. So we do need to supplement vitamin D, or we have to go longer without sunscreen on in order for us to make enough vitamin D, because we just are not as efficient at making it. So, those are the places that can be really beneficial. We'll put a link in the show notes to Dr. Lynch's book, so you can check that out if you want to get some more information about all of the different variants and, like, ways that you can sort of get an idea of what genetic variants you might have based off of symptom presentation and what can be done in, like, the epigenetic level around it. But let's shift gears and talk about the homeopathy component. And I mean, I've already sort of touched on the part I need to talk about, and so I want to let you talk, Jody, more about your experience with it. But I just want to, like, retouch on that component where, again, homeopathy works at the level of susceptibility. This is part of that susceptibility. And with it working on helping reduce your overall susceptibility, it can make it so that the symptoms or the genetic variants that you have work together more cohesively and collectively, so that if you're avoiding the things that are problematic, that you're optimized in the way that you're processing the detoxification pathways, the methylation pathways, the histamine pathways, the sulfation pathways, all of the various pathways that you've got, so that you can be less reactive. It doesn't mean that you're going to be immune. Like, it's not going to change your genetics. And so, like I said, my daughter who has a variant, I know that I just can't give her stuff that has folic acid in it very often, if at all. So you use those two things together and you can get the most ideal results.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that I pretty much didn't believe that homeopathy could do anything that it's done. I just didn't believe in homeopathy, but this would be one of the bigger ones. Like, yeah. How in the world can homeopathy change, you know, impact Avery's genetics? And it was really, like moving her through the healing journey. I remember specifically in our intake appointment, like telling you that I knew that I was going to be giving her methylfolate forever. I yes. literally thought I would be calling her when she's in her 30s and 40s every day and being like, take your methylfolate. Mm-hmm. And that I would always have to help her stay on this like restricted diet and, yeah. and everything. And I feel like it was just kind of there hovering in the beginning of, you know, her kind of healing journey. But the more we got towards the middle, and I got a little lax with some of the things I was doing, and I stopped doing some of that daily detox support. I was starting to see like I didn't give her extra fiber. We haven't done a bath in a week. I skipped a couple of days of methylfolate and she's fine. Like, I'm not seeing any behavioral flares or any worsening of symptoms. So at the same time, her body was really, really slowly going through detox, not like a big push forcing detox. So I feel like a homeopathy was, it took time, right? That's the hardest thing, is it takes time for the body to heal. But coming into homeopathy, that mutation was 100% switched on, or however you say it, it was on and it sucked. And her body was struggling because of it. And I feel like as she went through the healing journey, it just very slowly flipped it off. And we are at the point now where, you know, Avery doesn't take methylfolate on a regular basis. We have sometimes where we do, sometimes that we don't. We're not really great about that. We don't have to do any extra detox support on her. I don't see any, like none of the, you know, GI or skin or any of behavioral, I don't see any of those symptoms that I used to see whenever her body was detoxing properly. And so I've seen it firsthand. And not only have I seen it firsthand, but I felt it in my own body, yeah. Going through my own healing journey. Like, I know what my body feels like when it's not detoxing good, and it does not feel good. Yeah. And having a body that is detoxing well feels so much better in 47 different ways. Yeah. So it's just really neat knowing that, you know, homeopathy has the ability to impact that and change that. And then again, like you said earlier, like that's one of the things I'll never regret, is doing genetic testing. Because I know in every once in a blue moon, Avery has something with folic acid in it, and doesn't seem to have much of a problem with it. This is one thing I love about when we first started this a long time ago, there weren't a lot of options. Now there's more and more options of stuff that is free of folic acid. So that's becoming easier, but also, I've been able to, without her even knowing that we're doing it, kind of train her up to, select the foods that are going to be best for her body and not the ones that or could potentially cause problems, the stuff with folic acid in it. So yeah, homeopathy rocked that one too.
So we're going to touch a little bit more on this in a future episode about detoxification and environmental health, as well as lots more, basically. Lots more to come. So I hope that you'll join us for future episodes. We, as always, invite you to join us in our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, to connect with other parents who are going through the Pans and Pandas healing journey, and to learn more about homeopathy and to get support through your healing process, whether you work with Resilience Naturopathic, the practice that I own, or not. We're happy to support people through their healing journey regardless. So there's a link to that in the show notes as always, and we'll see you guys soon.
Guys, we hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.